Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
And welcome into our season preview. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur, happy to be back with the fellas. Hope your summer went very well. I can't believe it's already this time of year, but a week from today, we'll be doing our postgame show after week one of the NFL season, and Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears taking on the Tennessee Titans over at Soldier Field. And there's a palpable buzz around the city. I mean, there's a lot of people that are very excited about where this organization and franchise are going, but yet they have not played a game yet in 2024.
Well, Andy, to me, the number one thing that's in favor of the Bears that I see, the number one thing, forget about the players, the coaches, et cetera, is the schedule. The schedule is heavily in our favor. You guys take advantage of it.
Guys, it's great to see you, OB. Great to see you, Andy. You know, I get here, Andy's talking about how many times he played golf this summer, and OB's talking about all the great meals he had. And I got to tell you, in a little bit, we'll talk about this dream, this crazy dream I had about this season. But all that being said, Andy, back to your point, there is a buzz, and it's a good buzz. Everybody is, you know, on the edge of their seat. We've got something that I don't think the Bears have had in our lifetime, certainly not mine. It's a bona fide possible star quarterback, and it's not one that, you know, we can say, well, you know, if this goes right and we get this and we get that and blah. No, this kid is the goods, and you know, I could cite a whole bunch of stats, and everybody knows who I'm talking about. CDW. Who's CDW? That's Caleb Dam Williams, and he will be something special. You can almost book that. But all that being said, a lot of things have went down thus far in the preseason that has left me and the big fella next to me scratching our head. You said it earlier, OB, 22 days since this offense ran a play.
That's right. They haven't done anything.
And come on, we get it. Okay, when we went to 17-game regular season, it only made it a 3-game preseason. So, okay, you have less time to bake the cake, get everybody up to speed. And there's been some good stuff, and we'll talk about that ad nauseum over the next 2 hours. But was it enough? And I got to tell you, you know, we got our hopes up, what, in 2019, the Bears' 100-year anniversary. And we had come off of the double doink loss in the playoffs. And everybody was on the edge of their chair. What was that, 4 years ago? 5 years ago, and we're all saying, oh boy, this is going to be, and we know what happened. So let's have optimism, and let's have some enthusiasm and you know, high hopes and all that, but it's got to be girded by reality. And our question, and we're going to talk about this, have they done enough in the preseason? And I got it, you know, J.J. McCarthy, the hotshot first-round pick quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, hurt his knee in a game. It was a non-contact situation, you know, a freak accident. So all that does is just put the fear of God in these coaches, and they don't want to play anybody. I mean, nobody. And so 22 days today that, you know, we haven't seen this offense take a snap and try and execute a play. All that being said, there's a lot of belief that we have gotten better in so many different positions, and the upgrade at the offensive coordinator's position, and we're going to talk about this. I mean, that is going to pay huge dividends. But the one thing is, you never know until that ball's in the air, OB, and I'm hoping that in 7 days, this team will be ready.
Well, Danny, I'm going to tell you something. Where the pressure's on the Bears, where is the pressure at what position? Is it offense? Is it defense? To me, what I've seen in this exhibition season, the one word that I wanted the Bears to be is aggressive, which they have not been for years. I couldn't tell you how long. They were aggressive. I saw them offensively going down the field. I actually saw Caleb Williams sprint out, bootleg out, throwing the ball down the field. Defensively, in all the exhibition games, we're coming with corner blitzes, with safety blitzes, with Mac blitzes, with weak side and strong side linebacker blitzes. We got aggressive, which we have not been, folks. I couldn't tell you how many years, let alone decades. We were just not an aggressive team. We were catchers instead of givers. Well, I think that's all changed. I think it's all changed. And hopefully, come a week from today, we're going to see it right here because we're playing the Tennessee Titans. Guess what their record was last year? 6 wins and 11 losses. And the first 9 games, the first 10 weeks, we get a bye. The first 10 weeks, we're playing some of the worst teams in the National Football League record-wise last year. Why are we playing them? Because we were lousy too. So when they set the schedule up, I believe, Danny, we have the third easiest schedule in the league. Like last year and the year before, we were at the easiest schedule, second easiest schedule, which meant nothing. We had the wrong players in here. The wrong players.
Wrong coaches.
Yes. I think Poles has, I tell you what, he stepped up to the plate. He's pulled off some things that I think are positive. But I'll tell you what, where is this going to come down to, folks? Mark my words. It's going to come down to Braxton Jones, Jenkins, Shelton, Davis, and Wright. That's our offensive line. And if these guys, if they don't show up and they don't play their hearts out for this kid, Caleb Williams, I'm going to tell you what. Danny, they have to play hard. They have to play every play. They have to play every game. You've got Davis. What did he miss last year? 11 games? Jenkins missed 31 games out of 51. He's our starting guide. 31 games out of 51. Folks, those are that's our starting guard. Yeah, my God, both of them. We need them to step up to the plate. Enough is enough. That it's no more. There's no more of the Bears' bad play, bad coaching. Come out and act like you know what the hell you're doing and act like you're totally and completely in control of this game. I'm getting a little excited here, Dan.
Good. We got an hour and 40 minutes to go.
Yeah, pace yourself a little bit here. We got some time. We're going to be talking all a bunch about the offense, the defense, some of the changes in the offseason as well.
Defensive line, I'm telling you, that's where it's at. These guys better show up.
All right, we'll get more into that. We'll take your calls, too, if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200.
Caleb has great poise, great resiliency. He's able to have that next play mindset. And so there's been some drives, or it's the Buffalo drive where you have a backed up situation where he gets the ball all the way down the field there. And knowing in the preseason, it's still all about taking care of the football. And so when stuff hasn't presented itself cleanly, he hasn't tried to force it or do too much in those situations.
New offensive coordinator Shan Waldron, Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. As we get you ready for week one of the NFL season next weekend, talking all things Bears here today, 312-981-7200. Let's focus on Shan Waldron, because this, to me, is perhaps the biggest upgrade offensively, and we're even still talking about a quarterback.
You know, and let's look at big picture. Shan Waldron has some credentials, and at some point you got to reflect on what's happened the last 2 years. Luke Getsy, I'm sure he's a great guy. I played golf with him. I had a nice day. It didn't matter. He didn't know what he was doing. He did not understand how to set up not only a game plan but utilize the actual players that you have, not the ones that you want or you think they are, the ones that you actually see on the field. All that being said, Shan Waldron has really impressed me in this preseason. Now, the Caleb Williams stuff, he made some improvisational plays that everybody we've talked about and the fans at the gas station, they're like, wow, that was great. Okay, all that. But even Brett Rypien, the young quarterback that we cut, he was throwing the ball. And it wasn't just slinging it. He knew where he was going with it. He knew what the reads were. The receivers ran the routes. The offensive line protected. And Austin Reed, the kid that we kept, And you know, everybody knows that Tyson Bagent has come a million miles the last year. He's a different person, player, and quarterback than he was a year ago at this time.
You got confidence, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. But how do you get confidence, OB? Because you have belief and confidence in what you're doing, and you go out there and you
make it
execute.
Happen.
Yes, you execute. Now, all that being said, I became a Shane Waldron kind of wannabe supporter when he was hired, and I remembered one game. Andy, do you remember 4 years ago, before the Rams won the Super Bowl? They go to Seattle. Now, I know this is a little bit around the bend, but let me just tell you. I remember things. The LA Rams were kind of also ran football team, and they go to Seattle, and Jared Goff ran an offense where they were running waggles and boots and all this, and the great Pete Carroll, my dear friend, they couldn't stop him. And they beat Seattle in a game that knocked Seattle, I think, out of the playoffs at the end of the season. And I was amazed with the offensive, you know, the schematical game plan and how they were able to not only put it together in week 16 or 17, whatever it was, but how they executed it. Now, Shane Waldron got the offensive coordinator job at Seattle because of that game. And that's the way it should be. Merit should matter in all walks of life, but especially in football. Now, Shane Waldron, he got Geno Smith, who was a very moderately talented quarterback, into a Pro Bowl 2 years ago. And this year, Pete Carroll and the whole bunch was wiped out. And so that's why Eberflus had the opportunity to select him and bring him in. Now, let's go back to Luke Getsy. You had a novice head coach, never been a head coach before, Eberflus. He hires a never-before-been offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy. And we had a never-before-really NFL quarterback in Justin Fields. What could go wrong, right? Well, everything is different now. We got a coach that's got a little chops. We got an offensive coordinator that's been down the road and has at his disposal this wealth of knowledge of how to not only schematically set up offenses to attack certain defenses, but what works, what doesn't work, and the confidence of the players that he knows how to lead them. Now, all that bringing it forward to getting ready for the season opener next week. You got to think, okay, they feel like their offense on paper right now, they're happy with what we've got. And we'll go through all the changes. You talked about the offense, the offensive line, the two guards. Those are the big question marks.
You bet they are.
Tevin Jenkins, left guard. He's only played about half the time. He's been nicked around and knocked around this preseason, hadn't played and practiced everyone. Nate Davis, who's been a rumor. For whatever reason, he can't make it through a practice. I don't know why Ryan Poles is continuing to kind of list him as a starter when, you know, we made a trade and we brought in Coleman Shelton at center. Now, that's going to pay huge, huge dividends. Coleman Shelton was at the Rams when Shane Waldron was there back this time, I was telling you, 4 years ago. So I know that he's going to have, a complete understanding of what should be expected of him. And Ryan Bates, an offensive guard that we traded, we gave up a fifth-round pick for him to get him away from Buffalo. Now, if Nate Davis falters one bit, I think they're going to move on. They may even cut him. But Ryan Bates, I think, is more than capable. So the offensive line, we should be much more stable than what we've looked thus far through preseason. But all of this, when you throw it in a big bowl and you mix it up and you say, okay, we're going to start baking this offense, you've got a chance for this thing to come out and be something that could be very, very impressive. And Tennessee, let's talk about them real quick. Tennessee, as you said, won, what, six games last year?
That's right, 6-11.
Just enough to get a good coach fired, Mike Vrabel. And so they're, you know, They're looking for answers as well. So this really could be a perfect scenario for this offense. You know, we could go out. I could see them putting up a lot of points and a lot of yardage next weekend.
Dan, if they keep this aggressiveness that they have during the entire exhibition season, I hope that they keep this philosophy going, moving that ball down the field, and I'm talking about passing it, and defensively coming after people. Again, and not to talk in circles, but one thing that I just could never understand with the Bears, why aren't they aggressive? Why aren't they attacking? And I'm going to tell you what, come this Sunday, the Titans, again, they were 6-11 last year. Not only are we playing that team, we're playing the Colts, we're playing the Rams, we're playing the Panthers, we're playing the Patriots, we're playing the Cardinals, we're playing the Jaguars. First nine games, folks, I can't say it enough. We've got a chance to really we could actually go 9-0 in my mind. We really could. They've got to believe in themselves, and they got to be aggressive. They've got to attack. You cannot play the way we have been playing the last year, the last decades. It's enough already. Be aggressive. Go downfield. And on defense, you guys come after them with everything that you have. Unload. Get it done starting this Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, by the time we get to the back half of the season against the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, the 49ers, and the Seahawks, hopefully, maybe, we've got a great thing going, a good feeling about this team. They're believing in themselves, and let's win the North Division. And the only reason why you play this game, Danny and Andy, and it's burned into my brain, you play to be a world champion. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing. Not coming in second. Nah, I want to win the North Division. I want to do this. The only thing in your mind when you come into training camp or when you start this season, come this Sunday, right here at Soldier Field, you want to be the world champion. Take it to them.
You know, in a bizarre twist, and I think a lot of the fans know this, but I'm just going to bring it up. It's a tale of two seasons. You said, you know, 9-0. I think Kansas City's on the docket there. I don't know about 9-0. But the point is, we don't play a division game until November 17th. That is when we play
the
Packers.
About.
It's a tale of two seasons. It's almost like an extended preseason to get ready to try and be at your best down the stretch when we are playing all the divisional games.
Maybe they get the momentum going, the feeling that...
Well, you need it. You'll need it. Absolutely.
And that's what I see. The schedule is in their favor big time.
Much more on that coming up. We have so much to unpack here. It's good to be talking about good things with this ball club as well. And we'll get more into that coming up after the break for news.
And I got to talk about my dream. It's pretty good.
That's right. We get your dream. We get to have the dream interpreter on somewhere. Do we have one of those on speed dial? Half an OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
You sure you want to do that?
Let's get into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Here's Ron Brown.
It's since Kevin's gotten here, and you can feel the energy from other aspects in the building, whether it's in the cafeteria or you're hearing from people in the media department, whatever it is, there's a different culture around the building, it seems like.
Cole Kmet talking a little bit about what's going on at Hallis Hall these days. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur along with Hamp and OB as we get you ready for week one of the NFL season coming up a week from today at Soldier Field, Bears and the Tennessee Titans. We've been talking about the offense, and that's probably a good place to start again.
Yeah, you know what? I just like to jump in here. You know, the one thing I'm big about this offensive line. And why? Because it's not a mystery. This is a passing league. Everything that you got to throw the ball, or you're not going to win. That's just what it is. And when I see what we do, I get so darn aggravated, Andy, that I'm going to tell you, it infuriates me. There's something I want to say, but I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
All right. Sounds like a plan. And let's talk a little bit again about this receiving corps, because Caleb Williams has gotten the attention, deservedly so. You respect the guy that goes 1-1 and a Heisman Trophy winner. But you look at that wide receiver room right now, and you think, okay, DJ Moore coming off one of his best seasons ever. Keenan Allen, a veteran of 13 seasons. Injury bug has been a little bit of an issue with him. And then you've got Roma Dunze, who's the kind of the forgotten number one pick, who runs all the routes well and seems like he is adjusting pretty well to life in the NFL.
Well, back to the bump. That was Cole Kmet.
Right.
And he's been one of your favorites, OB.
Yep.
And you, guess what? Cole Kmet, hey, you got a new contract. Everybody likes you. It's time you step up and become a leader. A leader on this football team. Not only on the office, on the entire football team. Now, all that being said, your point about the receivers, I'll tell you somebody that will be a team captain. If it won't, it won't be this year, but next year or the next 10 years, it'll be Roma Dunze. And he's got it. And one of the reasons why Cole says, oh, there's a different feel around the locker room, the training room, the complex, because you're starting to get some true leaders and winners, the fiber that builds a championship football team. And we haven't had it. Think about this, folks. I mean, at some point you have to just kind of like do the math. How many special players have we had on this football team the last 8-10 years? Okay. Khalil Mack. Well, he was so important, we unloaded him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, who else? There hasn't been anyone that you can say is a viable Pro Bowl candidate year after year after year that you can count on, that you can build around. We haven't had it. Now we're starting to get it. Now let's talk about the receivers. We know DJ Moore. He's special. I think DJ made the top 100 players in the NFL. That's a great, you know, acknowledgement of what he means to the offense, to the football team. But more importantly, you know, and I nobody wants to hear it, but when I was playing and when you were playing, you had 8 or 10 of the best players in the damn football league. Did you not, OB?
Yes.
Okay. When I played, we had 10 of the, best. Well, we're starting to acquire those type of players. Now, all that being said, DJ Moore is primed to have a special year. And why? Well, because he's got some bona fide options that defenses are going to have to worry about in Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and Cole Kmet. He won't be doubled every single play of the game. Now, when you start worrying about the other guys and then DJs, so this is, it begets. And then you start attacking people. And we've talked about the fact that Shane Waldron has a pedigree. Has he been the greatest offensive coordinator of all time? Maybe not. But we have a lot more belief and confidence in him than anybody we've had in quite a while. Now, all that being said, what we saw, and you brought it up a minute ago, how we attack people in the preseason. And you're going to say, come on, Hamp, what are you smoking? You know, it's a preseason. Guys, let me tell you something. The same schematics that we're going to see 80% of the time, that was what they were working on in the preseason. And even though it was a bunch of guys that we probably won't see or hear much about, it was still very, very impressive how they were going about their business. And all that being said, you know, we weren't playing a bunch of riffraff teams like Carolina and New Orleans. And think about the four teams we played in the preseason. The Kansas City Chiefs, world champions. The Buffalo Bills, one of the very best franchises over the last 6 years. Who else did we
play? The Bengals.
What?
Cincinnati.
The Bengals. The Bengals have played in 2 AFC championship games the last 5 years. I'm just saying. And you're saying, well, it was our second. Well, it was their second team, too. So it, when you go, you know, apples to apples, we were getting great results with what we were trying to do, with motivation, with, you know, the plays, the schematics, the effort, the tackling. And on defense, do you know that we did not give up a quarterback sack in the preseason, OB? Think about that. We didn't give up a quarterback. And not that it matters. But little things like that start to add up. And, you know, we had some young defensive linemen. Hardy had 3.5 sacks. I mean, we looked like the real, you know, bona fide football team throughout the preseason. So all of these things start to add up. They're starting to give a whiff of legitimacy. And that is why Cole Kmet, what's he been here, 5 years now? 5 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. You well, guess what? He probably hasn't had a feeling like this where we actually, and I know people have heard me say this, but when we, whether it was a preseason game or a championship, we would look across the field and think, we're going to kick their ass. We're better. We're bigger. We're faster. We're strong. We're going to dominate. And that is why I think this team has a chance to hit the ground running and be so vastly improved. And if they are, man, this show is going to be a lot more fun.
I agree with everything that you said, Dan. And then, but I'm going to go back again. The number one thing that's in this Bears' favor, folks, you can't say it enough, is the schedule. My God, you've got to take care of it. And the one thing that really got to get out, I know I'm back on the offensive line, Dan. I'm going to tell you something here. In the last 2 years, folks, the last 2 years, we've had 18 different combinations. 18 different combinations starting in our offensive line. We can't find two offensive guards. One missed, what, last year? 11 games? I'm talking about Davis. And Jenkins, in 51 games so far he's been in, he's missed 31? This has to end, folks. These guys got to regenerate their commitment. And you know what? You got to play sometimes when you get rattled a little bit, you get hurt a little bit. Throw a little dirt on it and get out there and play. Give it your all. And again, Danny, 18 different lineups in 2 years, and you wonder why we are where we are and why we can't score points. And one more thing, Andy. Folks, our offense, when it's third down and long, third and seven, third and eight, there's two plays I do not want to see. Number one, that bubble screen. Okay, I like to drop a bubble on whoever's calling those stupid plays. No more bubble screens, and no more when it's third down and eight, throw a 2 yard out, hope he breaks the tackle and gets a first down. My God, please act like you know what the hell you're doing and attack downfield.
Sounds simple enough, doesn't it?
And I'll tell you exactly why. We saw that ad nauseum the last 2 years. When we come back, and I tell you about my dream.
All right. Let's get some current odds that are brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Early lines already for the game coming up next week. The Bears are 4.5-point favorites at home. The over-under in the game, 45.5, and the Bears are -195 on the money line. Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Back with more in just a moment here on 720 WGN.
It's been good. You know, they've been out of the way. You can barely notice them. Players have talked to me about that. So, yeah, it's been a lot less than we thought. And that's kind of how it was when I had it before, you know, in my career. So they do a really good job of just staying back, staying out of the way, and getting their stuff they need. And it's really good so far.
Head coach Matt Eberflus talking about the Hard Knocks crew been following around the Bears. Happen OB sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's get right to it, because I want to hear about this dream that you had.
Okay, but by the way, this Hard Knocks thing, oh, yeah. I hope it doesn't come back to haunt him, but I told everybody I knew. I said, hey, this is a needless distraction that, you know, you're basically asking for. You don't need – you could pass. You could say, no, Kevin Warren wants it. Kevin Warren, he wants to be the next commissioner. So – that's why we had Hard Knocks. Now, we're going to find out later on in the year how, because it always comes out, if it was a plus or a minus. We're going to find out. But I'm glad to hear that Eberflus says, hey, they stayed out of the way and so far so good. Now, real quick, back to the two plays that OB, you know, he wakes up at night and in a cold sweat thinking about on third down, the bubble screen and the 2 yard out. Unfortunately, Luke Getsy, as an incompetent offensive coordinator, knew that you got to get rid of the ball on third down because, guess what? Here they come. So those are the reasons why those were the prevalent plays that we would see. Justin Fields didn't have to make decisions. He didn't have to read. He didn't have to process. It was get the ball, get it out, and that is why. And let's hope we never have to put up with that again. Now, this dream. Now, everybody and I, we started the show off talking about the optimism. The guy at the gas station, you know, your cousin from Oklahoma texting you, hey, what do you think about, you know, Caleb? Everybody, and I mean, there's a reason why everybody is happy and optimistic about the way things are going. And I am too. But this dream is crazy. It happened, and it was like, I wake up and it's the year 2044. It's like 20 years into the future. It was crazy. Some real bizarre things. LaGrange Road was still under construction. Mitchell Trubisky was still a backup quarterback trying to get a job in the NFL. But Caleb Williams is calling me trying to ask what he should write for his Hall of Fame induction speech. And I texted him back, and I said, how would I know? I'm not a quarterback. I said, a quarterback that's in the Hall of Fame. He goes, there's none from the Bears in the Hall of Fame. And I said, I know. But, folks, what I'm trying to get to is we are in a position to possibly see something really, really special. OB, you just brought it up a minute ago. The touchdown record for the year for Chicago Bear quarterback is 29 touchdowns by Eric Kramer. What was that, 12, 15 years ago?
Right, exactly. Yep.
Second is Sid Luckman in 52 or something.
That was a few years ago, yeah.
So are we really, really on the precipice of becoming a real NFL franchise with a bona fide superstar at quarterback? My answer is, you're damn right we are. And I'll tell you this. Only two players in the history of college football, have had back-to-back years where they have thrown for 30 touchdowns at least or more and ran for 10 touchdowns or more. Do you know who they are, Andy?
Caleb Williams.
And?
Caleb Williams.
This guy right here is favorite player, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
So we've long since cried and whined about how stupid Ryan Pace was when he traded and moved up to get Trubisky, and Patrick Mahomes has become a Hall of Famer in 6 years. Well, guess what, folks? We honest to God, you know, it's like when you finally get in the elevator to go to the, to the top of the building. We're in the elevator now.
Hey, Danny, real quickly here. The record for the Bears in touchdown passes in the season is Eric Kramer, 1995. He threw 29. The guy that's right behind him with 28 touchdown passes, Sid Luckman, and that was in 1943. 1943, Sid Luckman is in second place behind Eric Kramer.
And they outlawed the forward pass about that. I mean, but folks, you know, what I'm trying to say is, you know, I'm pinching myself saying don't get crazy, but I'm just telling you, never before have we seen this franchise with a player that is capable of doing the certain things that you have to do in the NFL. And I guarantee you, Sid Luckman wasn't throwing no bubble screens in 1943, was he?
No, he was pitching them down the field.
You're damn right. Just like you have said on the show for, what, 8, 9 years now that we've been doing the Hamp and OB show? Week after week after week, you say, be aggressive, attack,
right.
Throw the ball down the field, throw it in the end zone. Folks, buckle up.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. If you're there on hold, please stay there. We'll get to you after the news, we promise. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com, the official Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll talk a little bit more about the defense, too, coming up in our second hour. We're with you until 6 o'clock here tonight.
Some of these players that have been taking time off on our defensive that are big name, big paid players, you better step up to the plate this year, boys.
And I think I know who one of those guys is.
Yeah, I think you do too.
He might be a starting defensive end. We'll talk about the defense coming up here in just a moment. Again, we're a week away from the Bears' opener against the Tennessee Titans at Soldier Field coming up next Sunday. And we'll be on the air with our pregame show at 11 a.m. next Sunday to get things going for real here in the 2024 season.
And there's always a little bit, you know, of a more focus that you have going to games for whatever reason, even if you try and enter that mindset and things like that throughout the weeks, it's just a sense of control, I guess, a sense of progress.
The voice of Caleb Williams. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur along with the guys as we get you ready for next week's season opener against the Titans at Soldier Field. And we hear from Caleb Williams, and I was thinking about this during the break, and as you were talking about Caleb Hamp, the reason, too, to think about some optimism, he's been going against a pretty darn good defense every day in practice. I mean, the Bears' defense, what it was at the beginning of last year to what it ended up with, were night and day, and this is a good challenge for a kid.
Well, and obviously, as OB just mentioned as we went to break, the defense on paper, they've got to be looked at as kind of like, you know, the core of the team. And there's some reasons why. The last eight games of the year, when the Bears went 5-3, over the last six games, they averaged giving up a paltry 15.5 points per contest. Now, if they could kind of find that recipe and duplicate it. Now, the new defensive coordinator, Travis Williams, he has to be excited. And OB, we'll talk about the defensive line in a little bit, but the back seven, even the back 10, and you say, what do you mean the back 10? I'm talking about, you know, our two cornerbacks will be as good as anybody in football. Our linebackers, the three of them, Trumaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards and Snoat.
What about Sanborn?
And Jack Sanborn. Those three guys, I'm telling you, the back seven and our safeties. You know, the kid from Penn State who has had flashes.
Brisker.
Jaquan Brisker has had flashes of being a real bona fide leader and like on the edge of being what you would call a Pro Bowl type player. And, you know, obviously I was no fan of Eddie Jackson. He's long gone. But not only the depth of these players, but the way that they're playing. You know, we put a kid named Roddy Stewart on the practice squad, and he had two interceptions. And I got to tell you, OB, you got to love how aggressive and how big of, you know, it's a mindset.
Philosophy change, Danny. That's what it was. That's what you're looking at.
That's the word. The philosophy change. And they're not going to be the catchers. Now it's about trying to make sure that the defensive line does their part. Now we talk
and go
about
after people. That's what I've seen. Dan, the whole exhibition, they're actually, instead of sitting there, instead of getting mopped and slapped around game after game, I don't care if it's an exhibition or a league game or what it is enough with that. And they came and they were aggressive, and I certainly expect to see that against the Titans. Again, a 6-11 team, that's who we're playing with next Sunday, right here at Soldier Field in our own ballpark. Take them and destroy them.
Now, one of the things that you and I both concurred about was the fact that Montez Sweat, who obviously we all know, we signed him to an ultra deal, and he has to be
roughly $100 million.
Oh, hey, he's got to be, you know, a focal point of that defensive front. Now, all that being said, it's hard for him to be a focal point if he's playing, what, you know, 68, 70% of the plays. And you brought this up with me ad nauseum last year. He's your best player. Why would he not be out there, especially
in the red zone?
In the red zone when we're playing the Detroit Lions over there. Detroit came back and scored 12 points
against the Vikings. Where was he? In the red zone, on the sidelines.
Exactly. And when Eberflus was questioned about it, what did he say? He said, "That's the way we do things." Well, guess what? That's the way 7 and 11 teams do, or 7 and 10 teams do.
Well, he's getting paid roughly about $100 million, folks. And I'm going to tell you what: this past season, like 100% of the time, he played during the entire season. 75% of the time, 25% of the time, he was not on the field. And there are times, again, which Dan just pointed out, in the red zone. In other words, they're going in to score against us, and where is he? He's standing on the sidelines. Well, why is he standing on the sidelines? The answer was he's gassed. You got to be kidding me.
Well, and a lot of folks probably aren't aware of the fact that Ryan Poles made a couple of trades right about the cut line, and he traded for Chris Williams, a defensive tackle, and Daryl Taylor, a defensive end, who had 5.5 sacks last year, so he's capable of getting to the quarterbacks. Now, when you combine that with Andrew Billings, who was really, really quite extraordinarily good a lot of the time last year at nose tackle. It's not a position a lot of people like to talk about or think is, you know, sexy, but it's critical. And it's crucial. But when you put, you know, this group together with that back seven, and I got to tell you, you know, as a defensive lineman, you know, the most heartbreaking thing is you make a great rush. I'll never forget. We're down playing Miami the night we lose, the only game of 85. And I don't know, maybe a half a dozen times I would make a pass rush, OB, and I would beat the guy so quick, and I'd be on Marino, gets rid of the ball, and Nate little receiver?
Oh, Duper.
Clayton Duper. Sorry, yep. They were open, yep. and you know, we're not gonna see that. But with our corners and our safeties, there will be. John Hoke is the defensive secondary coach, and they will be clamped down. So, if I'm these defensive linemen, I've got to be counting my blessings, saying, hey, this is going to be a great year, because I know the back seven, we will be blanketing the receivers.
Danny, you mentioned a real important thing, and I'd like to jump on it right away. When you brought up Billings, Andrew Billings, being in at nose tackle, the one thing about a nose tackle, folks, in defense, whether he's head up on the offensive center or he shades the inside shoulder or he shades the outside shoulder, that's the one player out of your 11 players on defense that can actually destroy a defense. He can stop it with run blocking. He can push that center back. And if a guy or a tackle is pulling and going, you know, in the opposite direction, right to left or left to right, if he can knock that center back, he can knock off a running play. He can rush the passer. Why? Because the quarterback can't step up in the pocket because he's crushed the pocket. So that guy that is playing on the nose, and you mentioned Billings, and let's hope this kid stays healthy and he keeps bringing it, Danny.
A couple other names. Gervon Dexter, who was a pretty high number two last year, he has a chance to really be an impact player. He's going to be playing that three technique, which a lot of people, you know, and know, you know, with this cover two, 4-3. That's the money spot. That's where you should be able to get an awful lot of single blocks, and you can collapse the pocket and create a lot of havoc. And
that's if that nose tackle can get it done.
Yeah, and a couple of, you know, Greg Stroman and Josh Blackwell, the backup corners, they played so well in the preseason. It was scary watching them jump routes and tackle and fight for the ball. I'm just telling you, our defense is going to be salty.
I want to pick back up on the defense when we come back from this break here, and we'll get into depth is one word that I'd like to kind of explore with you guys on the defensive side when we come back.
You betcha.
Great right. linebackers we've yep. got going
exactly.
for us.
I agree.
I'm telling you, three of them.
I'm really proud of where we are to kick this season off. Significant improvements, which again makes me proud of the work that we've done here as an entire organization.
GM Ryan Poles, kind of happy with the way things have developed here in his roster. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And let's pick it up there because we talk about the defense, and it was good the last eight games of the season a year ago, and the philosophy changed. But now I think what you're seeing and we're pointing out is depth is allowing Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles to put guys that are starters in starter spots and having quote-unquote relievers, being able to come in and spell them for a couple of plays, basically what they do best. It's not exactly forcing a guy that's not really a starter into a starting role.
And we're going to see an awful lot. They're going to, you know, as much as it probably chagrins us, we're going to see a whole lot of, you know, rotation at the defensive line positions. I don't know why Sweat would come out, you know, more than 10% of the time, but guys like Austin Booker, our fifth round draft pick, a kid from Kansas, showed a lot of spark in the preseason. Daniel Hardy, he's another one that has a chance to be, you know, able to help. Zach Pickens, he could be, you know, a guy that could go in for Gervon Dexter on occasion and make some good things happen. But in the secondary, you know, Jaquan Brisker got nicked up the last half of the season. He was in and out a bunch. Keith Byard is basically taking over for Eddie Jackson. Now, Byard, he was a former Pro Bowler. And I mean, he's a fine player. But Elijah Hicks is now getting some time at both of the safety spots. You can't be worried about, you know, him when he's in there. I think he's you know, a quality player. So from top to bottom, the defense – and again, the offense, it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress. We know that. But the defense, there's no excuse. They have to be able to, you know, do what they were doing the last half of the season last year. And they can't wait till October. It's got to happen when we start next Sunday.
Well, Danny, that's defensively, you know, and the way it seems to me the rules in this thing, everything points towards the offense. And I'm going to tell you, with Caleb Williams, if this kid is what he has shown and take it from there to newer heights, higher heights, this kid could really rewrite a lot of records around here. And you've got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rhone Odunze, Cole Kmet. We have quality receivers. We have quality receivers. It's the passing game is this league. I've talked about it till the cows come home. And I'm going to tell you, start out this coming Sunday against the Titans, the Tennessee Titans. Light them up, guys. Get them all down the field. Get DJ Moore down, Odunze down. Odunze is what, Dan? 6'3", weighs about 225, gets separation, and has got great speed. We have a Cole Kmet, 6'5", 6'6". About to what, 55, something like that? My God, you've got the players. You've got the talent. Flood the deep zones. Let's go deep. Let's score points. Let's win. No more 2-yard sideline passes and that damn bubble screen. No more.
You know, you're talking about how our skill positions kind of line up. I was looking at this article, and they were rating the NFL – skill position, you know, top to bottom. The best in football is the 49ers. Think about what they got. They got, you know, McCaffrey at running back. He's maybe the best player in football.
I agree, by the way.
Yeah. They were ranked number one. Number two was the Eagles. Number three, the Dolphins. You know, they got Tyreek and Tua and those guys. They get Jalen Waddle. They've the Rams with Cup and
Nakua.
What?
Puka Nacua.
And Puka Nacua.
Yep.
But the Bears, when was the last time the Bears were ranked in the top seven and that's what they're ranked.
1943.
Yeah, it's been forever, and again, to not, you know, and we'll, the last segment we're going to talk about what we kind of look across the league and how we expect things to shape up and who's going to be, you know, the teams that we would have to deal with if we get in the playoffs, that kind of thing. But all that being said, you know, the Bears with the makings of a defense that, you know, we just went through and itemized why we should be in the, you know, we could be a top five defense. Now, if you can get the offense to do their part and mature and be able to assert themselves and be an offense that wouldn't rank, what were we ranked in like 27th, 29th, 30th, 31st over the last 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to rank in the top 10 with the skill position players that we have is not a reach. It, I mean, it should be, you know, something that comes to fruition. But all that being said, it all goes back and it's going to rest on the offensive line. And sooner or later, we're going to find out if these guys can not only, you know, stand up and play week after week, play after play, but will they do their job and protect the guy that, just think back a year ago, we went on the road and whoever we had at center, it was that guy that they signed from Green Bay. He was awful. What was that guy? Lucas Patrick. Remember, he was rolling the ball back to Justin Fields. Every other snap was a bad snap or erratic. And Fields, yeah, he can't read the defense, you know, like Patrick Mahomes.
Daniel,
but who could when you're bending over to pick up the damn football?
We didn't have anybody on our team on the offensive line. I don't care if he was a center, he was a guard or a tackle. We did not have one person who could actually, in a shotgun, basically be an adequate snapper to get that ball back.
Cody White
here,
too.
Position. We could not have a center in the year 2023. You got to be kidding me.
It was crazy. And now, Coleman Shelton. Remember that name, folks. I tell you, by October, he will become a fan favorite because he is capable. And again, we got him from the Rams. And the Rams, remember, they won the Super Bowl, 3 years ago? So he's quality. And he will make everyone around him better. And also remember that Justin was having issues with calling the strengths and the different calls on offense and all the, well, all that stuff can be pawned off on Coleman Shelton, that now Caleb Williams won't have to worry so much about that because it will be done by the time the offensive line is in position.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that it can be as simple as getting somebody that can actually start the play. I mean, that's where it all starts.
Well, your center is the most important guy on that offensive line. He comes out, he makes the line calls, whether it's you're weak or you're strong, or it's an over, it's an under, et cetera. He's the guy that makes the calls. And I can tell you what, have we had problems with our offensive line? My God, I for the life of me have no idea why that can't be fixed. And hopefully, because I'll tell you what, there's a couple of guys that are going to be starting, and I'm going to tell you what, an offensive line, you got to watch out for Jenkins, you got to watch out for Braxton Jones with his strength problem. Shelton, I think he's a quality center. Nate Davis, I don't know, is he going to show up? Can he make it through practice? And Darnell Wright, I don't know. But these guys are the guys of anybody, any position on this team that has to step up to the plate and be accountable play by play, quarter by quarter, game after game. It's our offensive line. If you don't, Caleb Williams will get hurt and we will be going nowhere. Our great pass receivers, for what reason? When you can't block anybody, it means nothing. So again, and I keep beating on you about the offensive line, Danny. They have got to step up to the plate from week to week. They can't be taking two games off, three games off, for this reason, that reason, or whatever reason.
Much more to come. We've got a half an hour left with you here till 6 o'clock, our preview show. here, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. More coming up with Hamp and OB in just a moment here on 720 WGN.
I would count my progress and support. I would count it to them. They've been great, like I said. And so to get out there and have the confidence that we had out there, it's only going to get better, and we can't wait.
Caleb Williams talking about his teammates helping him through the preseason, his first preseason. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
22 days, Andy.
22 days.
I hope that doesn't come back to bite him.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
I really mean that. Wow.
You try to figure that out because, obviously, as we pointed out earlier in the show, the last time that the starters played was against the Bengals, if I'm not mistaken. That was the third preseason game of their four. And it will be a while since they get down to the field and actually take a snap in a game situation.
Over 3 weeks.
Yeah. And they've been running around in shorts.
Yeah, not pads.
Yeah. Okay, so, by the way, what Caleb was talking about, what he was referring to was the fact that early in camp, there was, it was kind of jacked up, and then the starting defense was, taking issue and, getting after our offense and obviously trying to say, hey, we're the big guys on the block. You're just a bunch of green grass rookies and, you're going to have to earn it. And it reminded me long ago, Jay Hilgenberg, we'd ask him after we're playing the Lions or whoever, blah, blah, how's at halftime, how's things going? He goes, it's easy after practicing against us, which we, of course, thought was a great compliment. But in the same sense, throwing in seven on seven and 9-on-7 against this defensive back seven of ours, mm-hmm. he won't see anybody as good or better. I'm just saying, so it will pay dividends.
The only thing, he had some bad days against his own teammates.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah. But that's good. That's good. We'd rather him happen in August than, October.
There you go.
Yeah. But all that being said, let's talk about Ryan Poles and the overarching trajectory of this team, OB. Now, we've talked about all the upgrades and the improvements along the offensive line, the defensive line, the secondary, the offense, and especially the acquisition of Caleb Williams.
How about the linebackers?
Well, we signed two of them last year, and they got a slow start.
Right.
They were not that effective in this defense until middle October. But the last 2 months of the season, they were salty.
I'll take our linebackers against anybody else's in our division.
Except maybe the 49ers.
I said our division.
Oh, yeah. But, and we're going to talk about that and the improvements. Ryan Poles has, had a lot of good things happen. The greatest thing of all was, his, whether he had a dream at night or whatever, but the trading of that number one pick to Carolina, which it basically brought us Caleb Williams. And guess what? Think about this. That trade, we got DJ Moore, we got Jervon Dexter, we got Montez Sweat, we got all of these different players. They were a part of that deal. Now, let's don't forget, he was the guy that brought in Chase Claypool and how disastrous that was. He was the guy that signed on with both coordinators, Luke Getsy and Alan Williams. When I went back and I told you, we had a first-time coach, first-time coordinator, first-time NFL quarterback. Well, we had a first-time general manager, too.
It's true.
So they all took some lumps, and they got jacked up a lot. But besides Luke Getsy and Alan Williams, now, to me, we're so much better in both of those positions. And don't forget, he signed Nate Davis, who has been a disaster. He signed Lucas Patrick. That's been a disaster. And he didn't get rid of Eddie Jackson, a year or 2 years earlier. That would have paid dividends as well. But all the good things that he's done, he has to be feeling pretty good about what he sees, not only on paper, but when he watches the team practice and the vibe, and, you know, Cole Kmet said it back in the first hour, that there is a certain juice about this team that he hasn't felt. And all those things, they all start to come together, and we're going to see them next Sunday, and if they have a chance to validate this vibe. We were talking schedule before we came back. So we opened with the Texans. Folks, come on. You got to beat the Texans. Second game will be a test, and this will be one of the most watched Monday Night Football games of the last 5 years. And you say, why? Well, Stroud. C.J. Stroud,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Texans, we've got to go to Texas to play them. They played in the playoffs last year. They took apart at the seams the Cleveland Browns, the number one defense in football. Remember what they did to us?
Yes.
We scored one touchdown against Cleveland last year. It took 9 plays when we were given the ball on the 4-yard line.
Yep.
That's how good Cleveland was. And C.J. Stroud killed him.
Yep, took him apart.
I mean, I would think, what was it, 42-7 or 10 or something like that. And then the next week.
At Indianapolis.
Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson, who played 4 games and then was out the rest of the year at quarterback. We'll have our hands full there. Of course, Eberflus going back to see the Colts. That's where we got him from. So, I mean, week after week after week, there's so many, what would you say, subplots that will make this one of the most exciting bear season that I can remember. But
Dan, most of the teams we're playing are not contenders.
Well, but
they are not.
Well, you know, the Rams are going to be better.
Yep.
But later on, we get New England. We get Carolina.
Jacksonville.
We get Jackson. Jacksonville Commanders. Started 8-3 and then went 1-6 down the stretch.
We got the Patriots, the Cardinals. You talk about the Commanders, the Panthers. I mean, come on. We got the third easiest schedule in the league.
And what I'm saying is, wouldn't
so
it be,
we should take advantage of it.
You're saying 9-0. But just imagine.
I said there's a damn good chance. If
you can make
they
a case.
Get the luck, they can go 9-0. 9-0. Now the back half of the season, I'll tell you what. Oof, you got some tough games at home and away with our own opponents in the North Division. But Danny, this schedule is a perfect schedule for the Bears. It's the perfect schedule for the Bears, for our rookie quarterback, for getting our offensive line settled, for our defense, getting a year older, getting a year smarter, the coaches getting more acclimated to the players getting more acclimated to each other, and I think they can put it together. And I don't think that run in the front side of 9-0 is out of the question.
No,
I really don't.
Well, okay, but just let's just say.
What the hell? Can I be optimistic for once?
Yes, and we're all excited. I got pom-poms over here.
I opened my mouth one time to be optimistic, and he slams me.
No, I'm just saying 9-0.
What the hell's going on here?
9-0, that's pretty good.
No good.
But again, if for those of you tuning in that didn't hear the first hour, in my mind, your case of the first 9 games is perfect. It's almost like a tale of two seasons. That is the kind of, you know, fill yourself out and see what you got, and if you can get on a roll. And well, say you're 7-2. Come November 17th, the week before Thanksgiving. That will be when the Bears actually play their very first division game. It will be here in Soldier Field against the Green Bay Packers. Now, just to remind you, Andy, how many times have the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers coached by Matt LaFleur?
I think
never.
Next time will be the first.
Exactly.
No.
Never. I think he's 10-0. So the first 9 games, it's all about getting your stuff together and then getting after the division. Now, after the Packers, who do we have, OB?
Vikings are next.
The Vikings.
At home here.
Right. And then we go to Detroit for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Correct.
And then
Let's talk about that.
And then the 49ers after that, Danny.
Remember last year that Detroit won the division. Detroit should have beat the 49ers in the playoffs.
Yep, I agree.
But we had Detroit beat. for whatever reason, Montez Sweat was on the sideline as Jared Goff and the Lions scored, what, 12 points in the last 4.5 minutes? Mm-hmm. So is that a doable thing going into Detroit on things? Yes, absolutely. We're better. We're going to be so. Folks, let me tell you. And again, we're not expecting Caleb to throw 100 touchdowns and all that. But think about this. Justin Fields started 38 games. In 38 starts, how many 300-yard games do you think he had, Andy?
I think he had something like two.
How about one?
Yeah.
In 38 games, how many times of the 38 games did he throw for more than one touchdown in an actual game?
Yeah, it wasn't many.
Seven.
Yeah.
So it won't be that big a stretch, OB, for this offense. If our defense is what we think it should be, it won't be that big of a stretch for our offense to help us an awful lot more than what we've seen the last 2 years.
Oh, Danny, I agree. Listen, what you're going to see, folks, come a week from today is a totally different Bear team. And I believe Eberflus, I think we're going to have that philosophy of we take no prisoners. I think we're going to be very aggressive on offense and very aggressive on defense. That's the only way you can win, especially in a passing league. You can't let a quarterback sit back there all day, run around and whatever, and wait for somebody to break open. You got to go after him. You got to take him down. And I'm gonna, you know, we're talking about Fields. You had some of those stats. He fumbled, folks, in 3 years, 38 times. He's a quarterback. He fumbled 38 times. I don't think we're going to see anything like that. I think we're going to see a team come out, and I'm telling you, Danny, this game against the Tennessee Titans, I mean, make that statement, all right? Everybody give everything that you have, everything that you have. There's only 17 games, only 17 games. And you, some of you guys that are getting paid $30 million, $10 million a year to play 17 games, show up!
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and put a bow on our preseason edition of Hamp and OB.
Getting traded here probably was one of the best things. I had one of the best years that I ever had. And then I got a new deal. Made history with the Bears. So I'm happy.
DJ Moore, Struck It Rich with the Chicago Bears. He'll be around for a while now. Hamp and OB sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. As we wind to the end of our preseason look at the Chicago Bears, it all starts for real a week from today at Soldier Field against the Tennessee Titans. We'll be on the air with you at 11 a.m. next Sunday to get our pregame show rolling. And then, of course, afterwards, we'll hopefully be talking about the first win of the year.
Well, and we haven't mentioned anything about the running game.
Nope.
And there's going to be some different faces be a part of that. You know, obviously, ever since Montgomery left, OB has been pouting about the running game because he loved
it. We don't have one.
Yeah. Well, Khalil Herbert and DeAndre Swift, who we signed, who recently played for the Eagles, will be the brunt of the running game, but there's some new names that we might see on occasion. Travis Homer and to go with Rashawn Johnson, who was a rookie last year. But Velus Jones, who essentially has been a draft pick without a position. You know, they tried him at kick returner. That didn't work out. Punt returner, that was worse. Couldn't really get on the field as a receiver. And now we saw in the final preseason game at running back, he actually flashed a little bit, Andy.
You know who he looks like and reminds me of? And I'm not going to compare him because there's no comparison at this point, but Cordero Patterson.
Yep.
Just the size and just the way he attacked the line.
Yep. And, you know, that 41-yard run at the end of that last preseason game, he made the team. So it'll be interesting to watch that. Something else that'll be of interest, and I think, and I know I already hate it, but OB, what do you think about this idiotic new kickoff rule?
Oh, boy. You want to know what? I don't like it. It looks bad.
It's horrible.
It does look bad.
How about that for openers? Forget about after he kicks it, and everybody's got to wait till the ball gets down towards the goal line so the guy can catch it, and then everybody moves from different positions. I just, my God, you're overthinking the game, you rule guys, whoever the hell you are. You're overthinking it. Go back to what it was and what it is, and that's what really made football a great, great game. It just looks...
It's laughable.
It just looks stupid to me.
And you know, actually, it makes flag football look physical when you look at what they're trying to do. Now, all that being said, you know, the Bears, obviously, we're expecting, you know, great improvement. Now, just imagine we get into the mix. OB, I was looking at the Super Bowl projections thus far this season. The favorite overall, who do you think the number one team in football to win this coming Super Bowl, which will be in New Orleans, by the way, who do you think is
49ers.
49ers, 15%. Who's next?
Chiefs.
Kansas City.
Then Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Green Bay, Jets, Denver. Oh, excuse me, Jets. And then the Bears are in a group below them with, you know, a 2% chance, something like that. It'll be fun to watch this, Andy, and maybe this will be kind of, if we do get on a little bit of a run and we're 4-1 or 6-0 or whatever OB thinks we're going to be.
No reason we can't be. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, these will change week to week. It'll be fun to watch and see if the Bears enter into that upper echelon. Now, Detroit, they're the third highest rated percentage to win the Super Bowl team with 7.9%. Green Bay, they're 4.7. Right now, the Bears are 2.3. Now, all that being said, the over-under on the Bears season, what do you think? 8.5 is what it is right now, which, of course, is 500.
Yep.
What do you think? Give me a prediction on the record.
Prediction on the record? I'm just going to stay with what I said when I first saw the
9
schedule.
9-0?
I'm saying 9-0. And you guys can go jump in a lake as far as I'm concerned. You want to make fun of me, go ahead and make fun of me. But I'm going to tell you,
the
I'm
next
gonna
eight
stick
games
with 9-0, huh?
What? Okay, they got to play 8 more games. Yep. Now, what do you think they do in the following 8?
You didn't ask me that question.
Okay. No,
I gave you the answer.
I'm saying 10-7 is my pick for the record this year. What do you think?
Danny, 9-8?
Yeah, I was going to go around 9-8.
9-8?
Yep.
They're going to lose all 8 games once they get there.
There's a possibility they could. What, like
9-0?
Detroit's going to fall asleep at the back half of the season. Green Bay's going to fall asleep at the switch in the back half of the season because you know they're going to be in a hunt.
Well, I just got to tell you, the over-under is 8.5. We all think they're going to be over. Let's hope it's way over.
It would be nice. It would be nice to be talking about some wins after games as well, and getting everybody in a good mood.
One word, Eberflus and that entire squad and the Bears organization. One word, aggressiveness. Offense and defense, attack. And when you get tired of attacking, attack again.
Yes, indeed. All right, we'll get things going for real next weekend. Next Sunday, we'll be on at 11 a.m. as far as just before the Bears and the Titans kick it off at Soldier Field. And, of course, back with you after that game, hopefully to talk about the first win of the season.